Thank you for listening to Preaching the Word with Nathan Deitch.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of The Mysteries of God's Word. Today we're in Genesis chapter 23, which records the death of Sarah, Abraham's wife, and the first purchase of land that Abraham makes in the Promised Land, that he might bury his wife, Sarah. Beginning at verse 1, we read, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Scripture recording that Sarah lived 127 years is the only age of a woman ever recorded in Scripture. Perhaps this is because of Sarah's importance as the mother of faith. Hebrews 11:11 reads, By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. The age of Sarah being recorded here also gives insight into how she bore Isaac past that age of childbearing. Isaac is now 37 years old when she dies. And we're told that Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron. This area was an area that Abraham often spent a lot of time at. Hebron is where the Oaks of Mamre were, a regular campsite for Abraham. It would appear that Abraham had recently left Beersheba and the area of the Philistines, and he headed back to his other favorite campsite near Hebron. Hebron is a town southwest of Jerusalem, about 40 miles, and is referred to here as Kiriath Arba. The name of Kiriath Arba was a name for Hebron after the time of Abraham, so that's a notation for those who would read this during the time of Moses. And Abraham, he went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. We see here the lifelong love that Abraham had for his wife, Sarah. We also see the importance of grieving and allowing ourselves to express our emotions regarding the loss of someone that God has given to us. Although we might say that Abraham and Sarah had some bumps along the road of their marriage, Sarah was the love of his life. And in that way, you could say Abraham was a one-woman man. And we see that love on display as Abraham is mourning for his lifelong helper, Sarah. It was customary to grieve the dead by sitting down beside their grave for many hours and even days. In verse 3 we read, And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of sight. Verse 4 is very important for us to understand the context of Abraham's status in the land of Canaan. He says, I'm a sojourner and foreigner among you. Abraham is not considered a citizen or a resident of this area, by the locals or even by himself. Even though God promised that this land would be his possession, he is still an outsider. Some scholars believe that the Hittites had come to occupy this land sometime while Abraham was in the land of the Philistines. Because there's no mention of Mamre or any of the Amorites at this time. Others believe that the Amorite chiefs were more akin to the mountains or the hills, while the Hittites settled in towns or villages. But Abraham asks the Hittites here, Give me property among you for a burying place. So Abraham is asking the Hittites that he might have property among them. So knowing he's a foreigner in the land, Abraham requests a piece of property to bury his dead. Now, unlike we might think, purchasing land amongst the Hittites doesn't make Abraham a possessor of the promised land any more than he was before. Eventually, we will see that Abraham's prodigy, the Israelites, will come into possession of this promised land, symbolizing for all believers the promised land of eternity. But during the life of Abraham, the Hittites that control the region are still considered the possessors of this land. In Acts 7, 5-7, Stephen, in his speech, reaffirms that Abraham didn't even have a foot's length while he lived in the land of Canaan. And Hebrews 11, 9-10 tells us that Abraham chose to continue living in tents in a foreign land because he was looking for a city whose designer and builder is God. Abraham was searching ultimately for the eternal promised land that God himself would build. Let me read Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle John talks about the new heavens and the new earth this way. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." That's the city Abraham was looking for. The city whose foundations and whose designer and builder was God. Back in Genesis 23, verse 5, the Hittites answered Abraham, "Hear us, my Lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead." It's very interesting that the Hittites viewed Abraham as a man highly favored and exalted by God. They even gave him the title, the Prince of God. Now, this area of Hebron was a place where Abraham, as we mentioned, regularly set up camp. So he was well known in this area. And he had become known as a friend of the Lord. It's also probably important to recognize he was known as the friend of the Lord that destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was a friend of the Lord to conquer a massive raiding party of Chedorlaomer as he rescued his nephew Lot. Abraham was well known, and his God was well known in this area. The Hittites say, "Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs." Verse 7, Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land, and he said to them, "If you're willing that I should bury my dead out of sight, hear me, and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zor, that he might give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It's at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me, in your presence as property for a burying place." So we see that Abraham rises and bows to those around him. So just as a reminder, this scene is happening at the city gate. And Abraham had been sitting until now, and now he rises and he bows before the Hittites. Showing his politeness, he says, "Entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zor." Even though Ephron is sitting there among all of the elders at the city gate, Abraham publicly asks the community of the Hittites if they might plead and earnestly speak with Ephron regarding this cave. Abraham doing this indicates such a transaction between a foreigner and one of the local community would require approval of the entire community to validate such a transaction. And during the times of the patriarchs, most of the rural land, the mountains, the hills, the open country, was considered common property, It was often occupied by a number of people, different tribes. But the land that was close to the towns would become divided up into smaller lots and fields, and they would become individually owned. So Abraham asks that Ephron might give him the cave of Machpelah. The scripture records that this cave was east of Hebron. And the Hebrew word for Machpelah means double. It's believed that this was a double cave. It was likely a cave hewn out of solid rock, but it was separated into two parts for burial chambers. And Abraham is negotiating that he might have this cave as a permanent tomb for his family. He says, "For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as a property for a burial place." While Abraham is not considered an occupier of the land, this purchase of the tomb is going to be honored for many years to come. It will become a tomb for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, verse 10 says, "Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites, all of who went in at the city gate, 'No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that's in it. In the sights of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead.'" So Ephron is attempting to give this field and land to Abraham as a gift. And he does it publicly, declaring his intentions at the city gate. It would seem Ephron doesn't want to sell the property. He just wants Abraham to be able to bury his dead in his cave. Verse 12, "Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land. And he said to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, 'But if you will, hear me, I give the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there.'" Again, we see Abraham rise up and bow down politely to show his good intentions to the people at the city gate. And he asks Ephron, "If you will hear me." Abraham seems to show a little bit of irritation here, that Ephron isn't listening to his offer. And Abraham again restates, "I give you the price for the field." This time, Abraham offers to pay for the field as well as the cave. Verse 14, "Ephron answered Abraham, 'My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead.'" Ephron's response, asking for 400 shekels of silver, seems to be a high value for this field. While we can't be certain of the fair market value at this time, it seems to be larger than what is common throughout Scripture. For example, David paid 50 shekels to purchase the temple site in 2 Samuel 24:24, and Jeremiah paid a mere 17 shekels for a field in Anathoth in Jeremiah 32:9. And Ephron says, "What is that between you and me? Bury your dead." Ephron continues to try and entice Abraham to accept the property without formal payment. Verse 16, "Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants." We read here that Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver. The shekel was not a minted coin, but rather it was a standard of weight. The shekel was a standard of weight used for value in business transactions prior to minted coins. A shekel of precious metal was the standard of trade. In ancient Israel, the standard shekel was 11.5 grams, while the sanctuary shekel was likely 12 grams. So So Abraham weighs out 400 shekels worth of silver. According to the weights of the shekel current among the merchants of his time. Verse 17, so the field of Ephron and Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, throughout its whole area was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites, before all who were at the city gate. These two verses, 17 and 18, give us a detailed description of the exchange of property between Ephron and Abraham. It describes the field, the cave, as well as all of the trees that were in that area were included with the transaction. The transaction was done publicly, and it was done in the standard place of business, which was the city gate, and this contract for land was still in effect even after the lives of Isaac and Jacob. And as we noted in verse 4, Abraham is still considered a foreigner in this land. This purchase of property for the burial of his family doesn't make him a possessor of the land, the way many of us in the Western world may think of it. This privately owned land is still under the control and possession of the Hittites as a group. However, we see in Genesis chapter 23, we almost have a full chapter committed to this purchase of land. It must have been very important to Abraham and his offspring, as this was the first real estate that he owned after journeying into the land of Canaan. Verse 19, after this, Abraham buried Sarah and his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that are in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. After the transaction was finalized at the city gate, Abraham buried his wife, Sarah. He buried her in the cave of the field of Machpelah. This is the third time this specific description and location of the field is given. When something is restated three times in Scripture, it's of significant importance. This location of Abraham's burial site was not meant to be lost. And it says that the field and the cave that were in it were made over to Abraham as property. This again is a restatement of the official transaction, noting that both the field and the cave were deeded over to Abraham. And it says, as property for a burying place. That's an interesting notation, and it implies that in the agreement for the property was that the land was only to be used as a burial place, according to the Hittites. Today, in our language, we might say that this property was zoned as a cemetery. Thank you for joining me today as we looked at Sarah's death and Abraham's purchase of this field and cave in the Promised Land. Join me next week as we begin to look at the life of Isaac. And God bless you this week.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. Thank you.